Hey girl, you feel that?
That's boyfriend material.
This is episode 28, Nothing Too Good for a Cowboy, from 1998. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too, and this episode's brought to you by leather.
Oh, you mean leather?
No, that's boyfriend material.
Now, is leather the material that a cow becomes?
Yes. I was going to come up with a more clever material, but there's so many fucking cows in this movie.
Also, the movie does not necessarily... I don't want to speak ill of a movie, but it does not deserve the brain power to come up with something more clever.
It does not. This is definitely a movie. How it went through any screening process, I have no idea.
Oh, actually, before we go further, I want to say this episode comes out on Halloween, so happy Halloween. I hope you are dressed as it is Halloween, as Ryan Gosling as a cowboy.
I hope so, yeah.
I don't, so here's the crazy thing. So as I was watching this movie, where very little happens for most
nothing
of the movie,
happens. Nothing.
I'm reading about this movie, and so here's some background stuff. Okay, so this is based on a book, or a series of two books, or maybe more books. Nothing Too Good for a Cowboy, right? So this movie comes out in 1998.
Book. Yeah.
In 1999, there's a TV show called Nothing Too Good for a Cowboy, which stars the two main people. Like, not the...
Oh.
I think the couple both reprised their roles for 26 episodes over two seasons.
So for the girl from Scrubs and the guy?
Yes.
I'm guessing?
The writers who wrote this movie either wrote the whole show or were in the writer's room and got credit on a bunch of them, but, like, they were involved too. So, like, no one else, from what I can tell, of any kind of significance went from here to there, but they were like, we need more of this. Let's bring this to the people. Let's make a TV show. So that's that. What's also crazy about this is that this is directed by a woman named Kari Skoglund, who directed a bunch of... She did some movies, but she's mostly a TV director, and she's kind of now like a prestige TV director. She's done episodes of The Borges, of House of Cards, of The Americans, of The Walking Dead, The Handmaid's Tale, and she is doing the entire miniseries for the upcoming Disney Plus show, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So, like, she has gone from being this low-budget, you know, indie, no-frills, doesn't feel like a real movie, to sort of being one of Marvel's go-to, you know, rising stars, up-and-coming, you know, TV prodigies across the board.
That's dope.
So good on her for that, because you do not see it in this movie.
We definitely don't see it in this movie. This movie feels like if you and I tried to make a movie with nobody that has ever made a movie before, this is what we would have came up with.
It feels like a college movie with people who are, like, good actors, but I don't know what it is.
It's like a college film club. Like, we made a short, and then we got, like, a grant to shoot a whole movie, and we were like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, cool, make two seasons of a TV show.
Yeah, apparently.
The only other two things that I want to point out about the behind the scenes is that the guy who shot this, the cinematographer on this, is a guy named Danny Novak, who shot the pilot for one of my favorite TV shows of all time, Dead Like Me, which I thought was a weird coincidence. Because he's done, like, a bunch of stuff I've straight up never heard of. And then, you know, the pilot of one of my favorite shows, so that was cool. And the guy who plays Richmond, who I think is maybe the main guy who's not in the couple. Like, I think he's the third person on the farm.
Okay, yeah.
He's somehow, and I don't exactly know what this means, he's a producer of the more recent Gears of War movies. Or games. The Gears of War games.
That's very interesting.
I guess he just helps. He's not a, I thought he was a voice actor, because, like, if you look at his IMDb...
That would make sense.
There's just a big... What's his name? Is it Dom? But the main guy... It's just his face there. I was like, oh, is he the voice of that? Because I thought it was like John DiMaggio or somebody, or he's somebody else. Like, I thought it was like a more gruff, manly guy. It's like, no, he's not a voice actor in that at all, even though he still acts. He's just a producer. And I was like, huh, that's weird. I wonder how that happens.
Yeah, I don't know how that works either.
But that's all the behind the scenes. Like, I felt like the behind the scenes of this, not that it's necessarily remarkable, but it's interesting
necessary.
Enough and more interesting than the movie itself.
Yes. I could sum this movie up pretty quickly.
Okay.
In the sense that, like, if we wanted to talk about the plot, just for a second.
Yep, yep.
It's like guy who was a stockbroker.
Yes. In 1939.
It took me a while to figure out they weren't in present day.
Oh, you didn't hear them very awkwardly say, well, you know what's in the news? Hitler's invading this country. It's like, oh, okay. Like, you could literally do it in any other way, but it's like, here's how we're in 1939. Let's talk about Hitler.
And they also said, like, they're going to go fight the war in Europe, and I was like, that's probably a clue.
Yep.
But they don't really make an effort to make it a period piece beyond that for a while. So I was like, I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't look at all. They do a decent enough job of keeping technology out of it. Like, there's not, like, it's not like you see cell phones or whatever, but everything feels modern. It's like old-timey locations in a way that feels modern every other way. It's just like, I don't know what this is trying to be.
Yeah, it's like very Westworld-y, right? Like,
not on purpose.
Not on purpose. Like, just, like, there's just no budget to make it look like it's actually old-timey.
Mm-hmm.
Guy comes, he's on this ranch now. He meets a girl in Vancouver, falls in love with her.
And she falls in love with him because he's from New York. I think she's like, oh, you're from the city, okay.
Yeah, he's a fancy boy.
Mm-hmm. This is not Gosling, by the way. If this was Gosling, this movie would not be better, but it'd be more interesting for the podcast.
Yeah, and then they just, like, they try to move some cattle. That's the rest of the movie.
The movie is essentially him and his buddy and this new woman who becomes his wife trying to become cowboys when they don't really have cowboy experience.
Kind of, yes. And then they get two cowhands.
Well, they get three, and they keep firing one, who's a girl who, for a lot of the movie,
okay.
I wasn't sure if they knew that she was a girl or not.
I didn't know either, and I kept asking, I was like, is this a girl? And Rachel was like, the little boy? And I was like, but it seems like a girl to me. And then there's like kind of a reveal that it's a girl, right?
Well, there's the one point where she gets like gored or something by the cow, right?
And, yeah.
Or she gets hurt while she's trying to tame the cow or the horse or whatever.
The bronco.
And she goes into the barn and like she takes her shirt off and she's like looking because she got like cut on like the rear rib cage on her left side.
Yeah.
And she's like covering, but you can see side boob. And the woman walks in and she's like, and she covers up like really quickly. But the woman does not react at all. Like, it's like she knew all along that she was a girl, right?
Yes.
That she was, like, because she's 14 or 15, probably. I mean, she's probably like 18 or 19. Like, the actress who's probably 18 or 19, but she's probably like 14 or 15 because she's real little. Like, they keep calling her the little one. She covers up real quick, and the wife is like, oh, like, are you okay? And she's, like, shocked by the injury, not by... And I was like, are you surprised? Like, is she trying to hide the fact that she's hurt so she doesn't get sent home? Or hide the fact that she's a girl so she doesn't get sent... Like,
same.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's not clear. And it also made it more confusing because she was very comfortable in that situation, but there was, like, one black, like, hired hand, and she freaked.
Well, that, like, yeah, because there was, and that was another thing that I think I kind of picked up. It was explained, and I was like, I don't know, because they're like, oh, yeah, he's a killer. And you're like, is this just racism, or is he actually a killer?
That's exactly what I was thinking. She's like, he's dangerous, he has a gun. And I'm like, but it seemed like you were being racist at the beginning, and if you really wanted to make this a period piece, you probably would have been racist.
But it's not like really, I mean, it's a period piece, like it's before Martin Luther King and stuff, but it's not like the Old West where like people were outwardly hating, you know what I mean? Like it's just, it's 80 years ago. So it's like, oh, okay. So it's like this weird in-between time. Like it feels, I think what's interesting, and also shout out resident historian Mike Manzi for not being, you know, in theory, if we weren't rushing ahead, if we knew anything about this movie and we're recording this at a normal pace, he would probably be here because we were set back in time. It's interesting to me that there's I don't think there's many Westerns who were set in this era. Like, I think it's either really old-timey or sort of modern stuff, right? Like, I feel like this is kind of an untapped area. It's just that this movie doesn't do anything exciting with it.
The era of cowboys during the war would be a very interesting era to explore. This is definitely not the movie to explore it.
But yeah, you said that they have two cowhands or three cowhands. The third is the girl, but one of them is Gosling.
He's not in the movie a bunch. He doesn't do anything super memorable besides push the one cowhand. He throws his cigarettes in the fire by, like, bumping into him because they're always dicking around.
Yeah, he's just there. Like, he's kind of, you know, in a way, he's kind of like in Remember the Titans. Like, he's just sort of there to be, like, goofing around, like, smiling in the background. Like, he's got lines and stuff, and there's moments that I picked out as his most and least boyfriend material moment, but it doesn't feel like he's got much of a purpose. And he's in the movie, like, I was messaging you as I was watching this, because this is free to stream, at least for now, on IMDb's streaming service.
So if you have, like, a Fire TV or something, it's easy to find,
Or you can stream on your computer, too. But it's, you know, IMDb is owned by Amazon, so you can watch it through Prime. I was, like, 30 minutes in, he's not here yet. I was like, you might not need to watch this movie. Because if he was one scene, I'd be like, oh, you don't have to watch this. But he's on screen for 5 minutes, and then he goes away, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And then he comes back for about 10 minutes, and he's kind of doing stuff. But
it's
there's not really
character.
A purpose for any of the three of the farmhands to be there other than, like, the farm is getting a little bit bigger and they need help. But, like, it's just, like, a plot device as opposed to...
It's a body. Yeah. It's not a... He's not, like, a character in this film. He's just a... He's just a body there. Like, they could have picked... He's in it, but it doesn't really matter. They could have had scarecrows be in this movie as the other farmhands, and it
would have
been
cool to watch.
It would have been really cool. They should have just full CGI'd, like, 90s CGI'd clip art style people in the background and just, like, not even paid money for these other actors. Just don't even use them.
I wish. I mean, man, I wish. Like, the Gosling, yeah. I think, is, like, sixth-ish billed in IMDb, and he's last of nine on Letterboxd. So I knew he wasn't going to be in this a ton, but I was hoping for more. I mean, it's kind of interesting-ish what he's doing a little bit, but that's only because the rest of the movie is such a zero.
Dude, nothing happens. That was the worst part for me, is just because the movie's just bland. Like, it's not, like, it's not even bad in the sense that, like, it's fun because it's bad. It's just, like, it's just bland. Like, nothing really happened, and I'm like, it's just them herding fucking cows for an hour and a half. And I was, like, so disappointed. Like, there's some potential, like we just said, you know? Like, we could have explored anything here, but they just choose to just make it a... And so this is billed as a drama, what, a romantic comedy, right?
The description says romantic comedy. I think it's romance and comedy and drama, but there's not comedy. And
is the comedy, I asked you this, is the comedy just that she's trying to, like, fuck all the time?
Like, yeah, is
that supposed,
like,
to be the comedy?
Is that also supposed to be the romantic? Like, it's not really romantic, right? Like, it just...
No.
Because they get married, but they're not, like, the house isn't ready, and, like, they're just trying to find a place. But, like, it's sort of... It reminds me of... I read in high school this book called Ethan Frome by this woman, Edith Wharton, right?
Okay.
And it's, I think it was written a long time ago, and I think it takes place in, like, the 1850s. Like, I don't know. It's written a long time ago and set maybe even further back. And there's this whole, like, sexual innuendo where they're eating pickles and donuts, and it's like, oh, it's like penises and vaginas, can't you tell? At the time, this, like, very progressive, like, can you believe that this woman is writing this smut into a book? And it feels like we're missing out on the joke. It's like, oh, well, she's trying to have sex.
Yeah.
Is that the joke?
Is that the joke?
I don't know.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because she'd be like, the guy would be there, and she'd be like, oh, we need to leave the boys on the other side of the river. And he's like, we can't do, like, we're out fucking side. Like, we can't do that. And she's like, oh.
Yeah, like, they're at that one fire camp, and then, you know. The boys are even like, you know, we kind of want you guys to, like, we don't want to, like,
we know that
you want to fuck. We're going to go away. And the guy's like, no, you can't go away. And she's like, well, look, there's a guy down there with another fire. They can just keep him company. And the guy's like, I'm not so sure about that. It's like, why do you not want to have sex with this beautiful woman? You just married her. Like, what are you doing?
I don't know. But then it's like, I think there's a little bit of broken back mountain in this, because he's like, then she's like on the thing and he's like, oh, you know, you can cook and, like, we'll get ready for, like, camp. And she's like, come here, cowboy. And he's like, no, a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And she's like, I wanted to go lower. And he's like, fine. Yeah, it's very strange. And I don't... Is this, like, an edgy, wholesome movie? Who's the audience for this?
I have no idea.
That?
This is a TV movie, so it's not... It can't be super edgy. I don't know what network it aired on. I'm guessing... I don't know if this is just, like, a movie that did so well or that was popular or whatever that became a series, or if this was, like, some version of a pilot for the series or, like, you know, an alternate version that wasn't... I don't know.
I don't know either, dude.
But I think it's for... Probably, like, retirement-age couples and then maybe, like, moms of young children, I think. Like, not for the kids to watch, but just sort of, like, you know, lifetime-y, but, like, to a certain, different kind of twist on the dial. It's the Western version instead of the trashy version.
I'm imagining it's, like, super religious families that are watching, like, a weekend movie. And it's, like, mother and daughter watching this weekend movie. And this is, like, a very edgy, like, your dad's not home. Let's watch, like, an edgy movie. There's, like, some things in it. And, like, they both, like, giggle, like, when she's like, I'm trying to go lower. And everybody's like, ooh, like, this is so edgy. I don't, I'm just fucked. Like, my brain is just,
yeah, I don't know,
way past this point.
There's not a ton to talk about with Gosling. Let's just talk about Gosling. Let's sort of move on, because
okay.
I think the next movie is going to be more fun. But
okay, that's fine.
So he shows up. He's wearing a cowboy hat and a scarf and a nice jacket. And I think they sort of look like city boys.
He looks like a Canadian that's dressing like a cowboy.
Yeah,
for sure. Like, 1,000%. It looks like he came out of Mickey Mouse Club, put on a cowboy costume, and walked onto set. Like,
so this is only his second movie. So, like, this is very early in his career, but he still kind of looks the same as he does, like, in Young Hercules and stuff. Or, like, he's still got that kind of... He's not a man, but he's sort of more man than boy. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah. Yeah, he's, like, he's... a teenager.
He's got no experience, but they still hire him anyway.
He doesn't talk in that whole, like, first scene either.
He's got, like, one line, and he's just, like, sort of, like, he's about to talk and just, like, giggles and stuff. It's like, all right. And then at one point, you know, when the husband carries the wife across the threshold, he, yes. like, wants to follow them inside. I'm like, what are you doing? This buddy's like, no, get out of there. Like, what are you doing, man?
I know. Yeah, it's very strange. And then they just, like, roughhouse in the yard for a while. That's kind of, like, their characters, is, like, they're yeah. constantly dicking around because they're small boys, but, like, on a ranch.
Yeah, with responsibilities, but not quite.
Yeah, that's what happens.
And then Gosling makes a little bit of food on the fire.
Gosling makes some food on the fire. Then we get to the best Gosling scene, which is when he gets pushed into the guy rolling a cigarette and burns his whole pack of cigarettes, which would be very infuriating to me. I would have murdered this kid.
Yeah. And I think he's, like, already scared of that guy. Like, he's vocalized that he's afraid of the guy because he thinks he's a killer. He thinks he's dangerous, and that's not going to
yeah,
win him over.
But, like, dude, do you know how pissed you would be?
Oh, yeah.
If you're, like, way out in the middle of fucking nowhere, and, like, you have, like, one pack of cigarettes, you're like, okay, I had a long day, I'm going to roll the cigarette, and then somebody just knocks your whole pack into the fucking fire.
My last note about this movie is that I felt like the entire movie was basically, like, just don't judge a book by its cover. Like, don't judge for being a little or being a girl because she's the best cowhand they've got. Don't yes. judge, you know, a city boy and a woman for not being able to be cowpoke because they almost nail their entire order the first time.
True.
And don't judge murders. A guy who is supposedly dangerous because he just murdered, you know, in self-defense of his woman or his friend who was getting raped. He killed a man. Like, it just...
Well, that's his explanation for it.
Right. But, I mean, I think we're supposed to take it at his word because he seems like a good guy, right?
Yeah, so... exactly.
It's just like, oh, okay.
We just told the whole moral of the story and the movie, and we didn't need an hour and a half to do it,
yeah.
essentially. There's, like, just nothing intriguing about this movie. It was very strange. Like I said, I didn't hate it, but I also am just like, wow, that was, like... How did they get funding for this? Like, who read through this and was like, script is good, plot is good, let's do it. Watched, like, you know, some of the cuts and was like, yeah, this is pretty decent. You know, like, who okayed it? It gives me hope that, like, any pipe dream that I have can get funded somehow.
Yeah.
You know, like, if we came up with something dumb enough and we just, like, believed in it, like, we could do a shitty version of it. You know, like, it maybe not be, like, what we imagined it would be, but, like, we could get it done.
We could. I think a lot of it, like, this movie just kind of proves, you know, unless you're, like, wildly talented or you're able to do everything yourself, you need money, you know? You can't have a cast, you can't have a crew and not have money and put something together that's, like, you know, great. Like, you have to be, like, Shane Carruth making Primer by yourself and you're not making it look...
Tommy Wiseau.
Glitzy. Well, I mean, he has lots of money. So, Joe, if we're asking Mr. Ryan Gosling, Mr. What's his name in this movie? Tommy? Hey, Tommy, what's in your hands? What's in your hands, guys?
A saddle, reins.
Sure. Got the frying pan cooking up breakfast.
Yeah, the other cowhand that he pushes almost into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it, man.
Is he the one, or is it his friend who takes the pictures? I think his friend takes the pictures when he's holding her by the threshold. I think it's his friend who takes the pictures. I don't think it's him, right? He doesn't have a camera.
I don't think so.
I also can't imagine how expensive a camera was in 1939 or 1945 or whenever they were at that point.
Fucking no, dude. I don't know.
I think that's it. Like, again, like, he's on screen for maybe 15 or 20 minutes.
Max.
Like, I think it's 5 and I think it's 10. And most of that, he's not doing anything. Or he's just, like, standing there. So,
yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
He's not doing much.
I did not look, but I wonder if there's a trailer. There is a TV series promo for the show, but not for the movie. There's full episodes on YouTube. If you want to watch the series, you can watch...
Probably
how many of these are online?
Probably shouldn't.
All 26 episodes are on YouTube, if you want.
Damn, okay.
Averaging a little under 1,000 views each, so if you want them,
wow.
Alice Pinas, P-I-N-A-S, that's an unfortunate last name, but she just hit us 100 subscribers, so she can do a custom URL. Maybe it's youtube.com/nothingtoogoodforayoutube, so who knows?
I like it.
All right, I'm going to try the Google game. I cannot imagine.
Yeah.
Although, if you type in nothing too good for a cowboy... The first autocomplete is cast. The second autocomplete is Ryan Gosling.
Interesting.
Nope. I'm just going to say Ryan Gosling cowboy. There's Bebop, movie, hat and boots. Yeah, nothing. Nothing for this movie, unfortunately.
No.
All right, Joe. I want you to imagine for a second one of the smallest numbers you know. Nothing too good for a cowboy. We're going to play the letterbox game right now. So for comparison's sake, Mad Max Fury Road. has been seen by 394,000 people, okay?
Yes.
I looked up again Miracle Run and Derby Stallion, the two Zeff movies that basically no one saw, right?
Yes.
They're both in the 300s. 300-ish okay. people, like 320 and 390 or something like that.
Okay.
Nothing Too Good for a Cowboy, 1998, directed by Kari Skoglund, Chad Willett, Ted Atherton, and Falconer Abraham. Sarah Chalk, eighth build here. I don't know how this is ordered. I do not know, because she is...
I don't know either.
She has to be top three. How many people have seen this movie, Joe, on Letterboxd?
75.
Way lower.
Really? 23.
I was the 26th person. I added 4% to the total when I went from 25 to 26.
Jesus.
I gave it a 1.5 stars. I don't think it's bad. I think it's just...
I don't think it's bad. I really don't. That's what I'm saying. Like, my whole argument is that, like I hated... Which one? Like, Leland, right? I hated Leland, because, like, I just didn't like it as a movie, and I thought that it was irritatingly bad to me. This isn't bad. It's just bland.
Yep. As it stands right now, this is my second least favorite, just because I don't really want to rewatch this. Like, I'd rather rewatch this than stay, but other than that, there's no movie that I would choose this over. Like, even Leland, I know you don't like Leland, but I would watch that. Like, I think there's redeeming stuff about that. Like, there's some interesting things going on. Sad queen wearing glasses for some reason. I don't know. But this, I don't know, man. Out of those 26 people... Okay, here's a better question. No one has it on their top four, okay?
Obviously.
But out of those 26 people, how many people like this? So when you log a movie on Letterboxd, you put the date. You can say if you watched it, if you've already seen it before, so like if it's the first time or a rewatch...
Okay.
You can write a review, do tags, give it out of 5 stars, and you can either hit like a heart. You can either say like it or don't like it. Like, how many out of those 26 people like this movie?
5.
Lower.
3.
Lower.
1.
1.
Jesus.
One Christ. Person gave this movie 5 stars. That is this guy, JLXE2003. He has no top four.
Does he like any other movies? Like, tell me, like, the other most recent movie he watched.
Let's see here. Likes? He's liked no movies. He's rated 41 movies, 34 of them. Oh.
What?
Okay, so this is just, like, a Gosling account. He's given 34 movies 5 stars, okay? Lost River, Nothing Too Good for a Cowboy, Frankenstein and Me, a documentary about Nicholas Winding Refn, which we're not covering, but Gosling's in... It's The Slaughter Rule, Leland, My Life, directed by Nicholas Winding Refn, which Gosling is in, Murder by Numbers, The Believer, Stay, All Good Things, Fractured, Half Nelson, Remember the Titans, Gangster Squad, The Ides of March, Song to Song, Lars and the Real Girl, The Notebook, Only God Forgives, Blue Valentine, Crazy Stupid Love, Place Beyond the Pines, First Man, Big Short, Nice Guys, Drive, Blade Runner, La La Land, and Speed.
Fair.
There's like 5 or 6 movies in here that Gosling is not in, but this person... just watches only Gosling movies and loves all of them. So if
awesome.
Ryan Gosling sees this account, he should be terrified.
Most likely to stalk it.
But JXLE, boy, do we have a podcast for you.
True.
Now, Joe, fire ass titles. Okay. If we're renaming this movie to be the High School Musical version of it, the most core, basic essence, whatever, what are we calling Nothing Too Good for a Cowboy? Which they say, by the way, they say the titular line 2 minutes into the movie, and I was like,
dude,
what?
That makes me so happy. I had so much potential for this movie when I saw that. I thought you were just being a hater. Like, when you had said you'd watched it and you didn't know if I should watch it or not, and I was like, Joe's just being a hater. Because, like, when they come in, he's like, nothing too good for a cow. It's like one of the first lines in the movie. I was like, yes, these are the kind of movies I like.
No, because by the time I'm 2 minutes in, but I was already like, nah, I'm not sure if I'm feeling this. And then they say that, and I sort of sat up. I was like, wait a minute, what's happening here?
I was hoping it'd take a wacky turn, but nope, it didn't.
It did
okay.
not.
Okay, my first fire-ass title is The Herd with Colin Coward.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gosboy? Cowgoss? Cowgoss.
Cowgoss?
Nothing Too Good for a Cowgoss.
Nothing Too Good for a Cowgoss. Scrubs.
Ooh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was in Scrubs.
Sure.
You know that, right? Yeah.
Sarah Chalk. She's also in Roseanne. She's like one of the, not the daughter in Roseanne, but she's, I think, she was in maybe half the original series. And she's on the, at least 1 or 2 episodes when they came back to before we canceled Roseanne.
Yeah. Stocks.
Okay. Cattle.
Cattle. A Murder on Horseback. The Lone. Sharks. What?
I just like that you just keep saying things and I'm just struggling to come up with anything.
Yeah, you see how my brain works. The Ring.
Oh, yeah, The Ring is important.
One Step Over the Threshold.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of anything that has anything to do with Gosling, and it just 248. Doesn't. 248. What's that?
That's the number of cattle they wound up with, not 250, 248.
Which, whatever.
Just too short.
Okay, I think that's enough.
How about too short? Like the rapper, but like with the T-W-O?
Sure. I like it. That works for me. So now, Joe, most and least boyfriend material moments. So before we talk about this movie, let's review the guesses. So you said Ryan Gosling wants to make the best cast iron biscuits in the world, which...
By the way, I hadn't seen this movie first. Just let you know, Joey can attest that I just nailed it. I did not see this movie beforehand.
So he's perfecting his recipe, but he can't get a recipe everyone likes because nothing is too good for a cowboy. But shouldn't that mean that everybody likes it?
Doesn't matter. All I know is that there's a guy in this movie, eats a biscuit, and says, I don't like these. He never makes the biscuits right. And if that isn't fucking incredible.
Yeah, that's spot on.
It's so next level. Like, that's like one of the best.
He whips them too much.
That's one of the best guesses I've ever had.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm impressed with myself.
You're going to get, I would give you 5 points, but Gosling's not involved, so I'm going to give you 2 points.
Okay, fair.
And he finally finds a guy who likes them, that they make him on a mountain, but he rolls down it and breaks his back. They now refer to it as Broken Back Mountain. Gosling makes a stretcher out of twigs and carries the man back with pure manliness. That's the most boyfriend show moment. Least, when he finally treks the 7 miles back to town to the hospital to get the man medical attention, he goes to check him in. The man says thanks and goes to reach for Gos's hand to embrace him. Gos swats it away. Says, look, like it's about time to get back to my wife, feel better, never visits him in the hospital again.
And there was a sick guy in this movie.
Yeah, but like I think in every Western, there's always a sick guy because there's just no medicine.
What?
You have,
and there was a new wife in this movie, and he had to get back to his wife so many times.
But not Gosling.
Like, I know, but I mean, but Gosling's not in this movie. So it's like, come on, I'm so close.
All right, I'll give you 3 points total.
Fine, okay.
Ryan Gosling is a special needs farmhand on a cattle farm. He's about 16. Okay. Movie's about three men vying for a sister's... Oh, yeah, I'm wildly far off. I forgot about this. Vying for a sister's affection. It's kind of like King Lear, but bad. The least boyfriend material moment is that he's upset that the sister's getting all his attention, so he begins acting out and behaving badly. I'm dancing around things, but I don't think I got a thing right there.
Nah.
The most boyfriend material moment is that after he gets punished for acting out... Oh, that was the least, okay? So he's just acting out. The most is that after he gets punished for acting out, he's forced to do more chores and more work around the farm. As he's out in the farm, he hears two of the guys talking to each other about how they're only in this for the farm. They don't love his sister after all. Their plan is to sabotage the third. They have one man marry her, inherit the farm, fake her death in an accident, then sell the farm and make a quick buck. He tells his sister and father this. The sister marries the third and lives happily ever after. So, again, I have a marriage in there. Just not maybe a point, but again, biscuits is like, that's just, you know,
biscuits
there's
so
nothing
next
I could
level,
do.
Dude. Yeah, I had actually paused the movie and like tell Rachel about how good that guess was.
So Frankenstein and me, I've been thinking about this a lot. So here's my guesses first, okay?
No, I want to do mine first.
Oh, you want to do yours?
I don't
want
to be influenced by yours, because if you get into my brain, it'll be bad.
Okay.
Gosling has a chinchilla.
Okay.
That he named Frankenstein.
Okay.
And it's a movie about a boy and the love that he has for his chinchilla.
Okay.
The most boyfriend material moment is that there's a school dance and nobody will go with him.
Okay.
So he takes his pet chinchilla with him, and it's just like a very cute, like, he, I mean, he's a small boy. He's going to be like 13.
Okay.
And he takes his pet chinchilla with him.
Okay. And then the least boyfriend material moment.
He meets a girl at the dance and she's like, oh, that's so cute. You brought your chinchilla. He's like talking to her. It sneaks away and gets run over by the floor buffer.
Oh, no.
In the hallway of the school, because it gets out of the gymnasium where the dance was. Yeah, like the janitor just splatters it everywhere.
Brutal.
And there's just blood just like dragging. And the janitor has headphones in, so he doesn't even notice. So like Gosling's like, where's Frankenstein? And runs out, and there's just like like a path of blood like all the way around the school. And he's like, no! And that's how the movie ends. Am I close?
Yeah, 100%. So here's what I think it's going to be.
Okay.
So this is his first movie. I think he's like 14, 15-ish in this. Okay. I think he's going to be a babysitter. Okay, because I'm trying to think where Frankenstein and me comes from. So he's into weird stuff. He's into creepy stuff. Horror, death, blood, that kind of stuff, right?
Okay. Dead chinchillas.
And chinchillas, of course. He's babysitting his neighbor who's like 5 or 6. Like, he's a little kid. You know, Gosling's not old, but he's babysitting his neighbor or whatever.
Okay.
Or maybe, I guess it could be brother, but I think neighbor. He wants to introduce him to all his horror stuff, but he's at least a little responsible. So he's not going to be like, hey, watch these crazy movies. I'm a smart kid. I'm going to sort of ease you into this, right? So he puts the kid to bed. He starts telling the horror bedtime stories, but kids' versions. He puts a kid into Frankenstein's story. He's the me in Frankenstein and me. It's a very sweet moment. She's telling the story of Frankenstein, but he's like, but you know what? You're there.
Wow.
Kid gets really into it. He's loving the story. Gosling misinterprets this, sort of gets a little bit too cocky, you know, as Gosling has been recently in his early career, right?
Yeah.
He makes it too gory too fast, I think. Kid gets scared. Gosling says, good night. Kid has nightmares. Can't sleep for a week. Least boyfriend material moment.
So wholesome still, though.
It's not bad, but yeah.
It's pretty wholesome.
And actually...
So too gore too fast?
Too gore too fast. Yeah.
Okay.
Too gore too furious. Okay, so Joe, in this movie, nothing too good for a cowboy, what are your picks for the most and least boyfriend material moment?
Ruining the cigarettes, least boyfriend material moment.
I have when he is taunting the female friend as she's trying to ride that horse. He's literally laying on a signpost, like a fence, just laughing at her, just cackling at her. Like, he's having a good time, but it's just like, ha, look at you struggling.
Yeah. Didn't like that. I agree. That's a bad one. Most boyfriend material moment is not being overtly racist to the cowhand.
Ooh.
He's just scared of him. But he's not overtly racist.
His boyfriend and what he doesn't do.
Yes. Negative space boyfriend material.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's when he is making breakfast over the campfire.
That's a good movement. Yeah, that's a good moment too.
Because I think it's the main guy who wakes up and just like, hey, you want coffee? Or whatever. So I think that's a sweet moment. It's literally like the one thing he actually does in this movie is he makes breakfast once.
And ruins cigarettes.
Yeah. All right, Joe, we have to nominate this for the Gossies, the
none.
Ryan Gosling
Absolutely
Awards.
None. Worst film for none. No, it's not even the worst film. It's just bland. Like, if we had, like, the most vanilla film.
You want to call it most disappointing or no?
Yeah, I do, because there's potential there. I would call it most disappointing and call it a day.
Best role, worst role, no. Most or least boyfriend material caliber role, no.
No.
Most fun, no. Best song, soundtrack, score, cinematography, costumes. Nope. Best or worst hair, no. Best or worst love story, no. He doesn't scream.
Nope.
He doesn't cry.
Nope.
He doesn't get punched in the face. He doesn't play an instrument. And he doesn't kill anybody. He doesn't dance. You want to say best job cowboy?
That works. I'll take it. I don't like it, but I'll take it.
We might get cut it. We don't have that many here, but we have more than five now, so
okay.
We might cut it back. Doesn't dance, doesn't die, and there's no one in this movie, male or female, that is worth nominating, so.
For anything, I agree.
So, Joe, next week, Frankenstein and Me, a movie about a chinchilla and horror bedtime stories.
Yes.
More importantly, every Tuesday, this comes out every Thursday, but every Tuesday, Too Fast, Too Forever, our Fast and Furious podcast, Too Gore, Too Furious.
Amen.
Check us out. It's the same show, but it's about movies that we like and movies where things happen. Every Tuesday, write in, listen, check it out. Go see Hobbs and Shaw.
It's fun.
Hobbs and Shaw is still way in, like, we're way early. Hobbs and Shaw is not in theaters anymore, but it'll be out on Blu-ray maybe a month or two, so go get it then. Any other thoughts about, I mean, I don't think there are, but any other thoughts about nothing too good for a cowboy?
No, other than if you want a movie to show your grandma, watch this movie.
If your grandma likes getting just a little bit dirty. Ooh, they're
not even.
They're almost going to have sex. Ooh, grandma.
Yeah.
For all things boyfriend material, you can go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, or @cageclubpod on Twitter and Instagram. Email us, boyfriendmaterial@cageclub.me. Come back next week for Frankenstein and Me. Ooh, Cage Club and Me.
Mm.
I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And we'll see you next week right here on Boyfriend Material.
$100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same.